Thank you, Jennifer. Next up is Joyce Nakashima, and Joyce is a registered dietitian that works with the California Project LEAN, and that stands for Leaders Encouraging Activity and Nutrition. She has been working with schools to implement California's nutrition standards for snack foods and beverages, and she is here today to present a decision support tool to implement the school food policy.
Morning, everyone. I first want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Jaros, who's in the audience today, Jean Tremaine, and Dr. Kuo. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So before I get started on talking about the decision support tool, I wanted to review California's nutrition standards. I wasn't sure if everyone would be familiar with it, but there were two state laws that were implemented on July 1st, 2007. They are Senate Bill 12 and Senate Bill 965. Now, Senate Bill 12 focuses on snack foods and entrees that are sold in schools that aren't part of the meal program. So they're sold in venues such as student stores, the cafeteria, vending machines, and also it includes fundraising. SB 965 talks about beverage guidelines for schools, and I'll go into a little bit more detail about those two laws. So the guidelines for snacks are separated in elementary school and middle and high school. They're slightly different guidelines for that, the main difference being the calorie restriction. So the calorie restriction for elementary schools is 175 calories. For middle and high school, it's 250 calories. Now, the other guidelines are pretty similar. This food item cannot be more than 35% total calories from fat, not more than 10% of total calories from saturated fat, and not more than 35% of total weight from sugar. They have what's called exempt snacks within the guidelines. Nuts, nut butters, they tend to be more than 35% fat, but they are considered healthy, so those are considered exempt, meaning they don't have to meet those 35, 10, 35 guidelines. Eggs, cheese package for individual sale, fruits generally have more than 35% weight of sugar, so these are foods that are considered exempt. Now, there are separate guidelines for entrees, and entrees actually are not allowed in elementary schools. So all the foods they purchase have to be part of the school meal program. In middle and high school, they can purchase a hamburger or a pizza or a sandwich separate from the meal program. And those items cannot be more than 400 calories, and those foods cannot contain more than 4 grams of fat per 100 calories, which basically translates into 36% fat. Guidelines for beverages are also, they're actually a little bit different from the snack foods, meaning that they don't really have calorie restrictions. They have more the types of beverages. So the three types of beverages that can be in elementary schools are fruit and vegetable-based drinks that are composed of more than 50% fruit or vegetable juice without any added sweeteners, the various types of milk, and water with no added sweeteners. Now, in middle and high school, they are allowing the electrolyte replacement beverages, and they have a gram of sugar per 20-ounce restriction. So with these nutrition standards, what changed in schools? Well, they had to take out all the foods and beverages that didn't comply with the standards. So basically, you heard about taking the candy out of schools, sodas out of schools, a lot of the regular chips, cookies, pastries, french fries, onion rings were all taken out of schools. Schools were also restricted on what kind of snack foods they can sell during the school day. And the way they defined school day was half an hour before school and half an hour after school. So you might still see foods that aren't compliant at school campuses, but they're sold half an hour after school in the after school programs. Now, implementing the nutrition standards for schools was a challenge because they had, all of a sudden, maybe more than half their foods didn't fit the school guidelines. They're always worried about funding. And so it also requires school staff being knowledgeable about what foods and beverages don't fit into the standards. So a couple years ago, the resources that were available was that California Project LEAN developed a food calculator. So if you go onto their website, they do have, you can enter the food name, you can enter the calories, the grams of fat. So taking things off the food label, entering it in, and they will tell you if the food is compliant or not compliant. There's also a slide guide that they developed and which you can take to the store and figure out if a food was compliant or not. Now, a lot of these schools, their school food service directors, their associated student body directors, the ones who are in charge of the student stores, are the ones trying to figure out which foods fit and which foods don't. So a lot of schools develop their approved food and beverage lists. And so looking at, I was working on the Healthy Eating Active Communities grant, which Peggy had mentioned earlier, but I was working with Baldwin Park Unified School District, and I really wanted to, they kept calling me, does this food fit? And I kept referring to them to the calculator, I referred them to the slide guide. Their vendors actually had SB 12 and SB 965 compliant lists, which I, after looking at it, found that they weren't always the most accurate. It always went in their favor as far as the food complying. So we, I worked with the LA County Food Policy, and they had specific guidelines for calories, for fat, for sugar on foods. And so my colleague and I developed an Excel spreadsheet that kind of kept track of all the different food items and kind of told us if a food item was compliant or not. So it was a nice way to kind of keep track on an ongoing basis. So we modified the tool to include both components of SB 12 and 965. And when you look at all the different components of the nutrition standards, you need to look at the elementary school and the middle and high school. You need to look at snack foods because their guidelines are separate from entrees and are different from the beverages. So there are basically five different components we had to look at. I'm going to give you an example of what kind of information you can get from a package. So, for example, a typical food sold in the student store is a Kellogg's Rice Krispie Treats. The package size is 37 grams. The serving size is 37 grams. And the serving size is important because some foods have more than one serving in the bag. One serving has 150 calories, 30 calories from fat, 30 fat calories, 3.5 grams of fat. So they give you the nutrition information. Now, just by looking at the information, you can't tell if a food complies or not. I mean, the most obvious is the calorie limit. So with elementary schools, it's 175 calories and below. So it meets that, and it meets the high school. But as far as percentages, you know, if you're a dietitian, you know how to calculate what multiplying the grams of fat by the calories per gram, and then dividing it by the calories. But a lot of people aren't going to take the time to do that on each food item. So the Excel tool that we had developed has a decision path. And for snack foods, this is kind of the steps that you go through. So it's going to ask you, is it a compliant snack? Now, you don't know if it's a compliant snack or not. But the way this was developed, you just put a Y for yes, and then it'll tell you, you'll go through the rest of the steps. So for exempted snack, meaning is the food a nut, is it a cheese, you know, all those exempted snacks. If it is, you'd put a yes, because the decision path will kick out if it's more than 35% fat. It'll make it compliant. You'll put in the number of servings per package, and then the calories per serving. So the green area is another area where you would input all the information. So the package weight in grams, the fat per serving, the saturated fat per serving, and the sugar per serving. Now, all these areas do have, when you on the Excel spreadsheet, you'll look and scroll over, and it'll tell you, for example, exempted snack. If you don't have it memorized, it'll tell you what foods are exempted. Now, what's calculated by the decision support tool is an area in yellow. So it will tell you the total calories, the calories from fat. It'll tell you the percentage, the calories from saturated fat, and the weight from sugar, the percentage. And it'll give a Y or yes if it's compliant and no if it's not compliant. So does the snack comply? So the information from the decision support tool, the Excel tool, will give you the information that's presented on the left-hand side. So it tells you that the Rice Krispie Treat is 21% fat, it contains 6% saturated fat, and it contains 32% sugar weight. So if you look at the nutrition guidelines, it meets all the guidelines. So the answer is yes, that the snack does comply. So in developing the tool, you need a use of a program that has calculations and logic functions. Excel is, I think, pretty widely used. Can you raise your hands if you've used Excel before? So maybe about a little over half the room has used Excel. To determine compliance, the tool calculates interim values and uses chains of AND or logical expressions. So the way that the nutrition standard works is if a food is less than a certain amount of calories, if it meets the 35% fat and below, if it meets the 10% saturated fat and below, and also the 35% sugar weight, or if it's an exempted snack, then it'll be a yes. So it's a little complicated the way the Excel spreadsheet had to work, and I wasn't the one who put together the logic for it. It's too complicated. But it determines the correct answer. And the third bullet says additional logic overrides preliminary results while the user enters data. So while you're entering data, there won't be a yes or a no. It will wait till you complete the whole part that you need to enter before the answer is given. Because the kind of the danger or the user error could be that if someone's entering half the data, and then if half the data meets, they'll think the food is compliant when it's really not. So the spreadsheet works only when someone enters every single point in the data. So this is just an example of what the logic structure looks like. So each cell represents a user input or a calculated value. Now for entrees, it's actually simpler because all you need is the calories and the grams of fat. So the user would put in the calories of the entree and then the fat grams, and then it'll automatically tell you what percent fat per 100 calories, and then if it meets the SB 12 guidelines or not. Now for beverages, it's a little bit different because they don't have the calorie guidelines or the percent fat, percent sugar guidelines. So you'll need the option, there's option 1, 2, 3, and 4, and depending on which beverage you're looking at, you'll pick one out of the four options. And then you'll, for the juice, you'll put in the percent juice, so you'll have to look at the package. If it has added sweetener, and on the scroll over, there's kind of ingredients that kind of indicate added sweeteners. Water, if it has added sweeteners, so there aren't any flavored waters in schools because that's a stipulation that it cannot have any added sweeteners. If it meets the dairy or non-dairy guidelines, and then the serving sizes if it's an electrolyte replacement drink. Okay, the validation, the tool was tested with a range of users to assure the accuracy of the results. And if you wanted to modify the tool, for example, Los Angeles Unified School District has a sodium restriction on their snack foods. So they would, you know, they couldn't use this tool and determine if their food was compliant. They would need to add an extra row as far as sodium. Some schools have other stricter guidelines. It might be lower in calories, lower in fat, or trans fat. There might be other guidelines. If you wanted to modify the tool, it'll require the assistance of a person with Excel and programming knowledge. I was lucky that I had a colleague that I can kind of tell him what I wanted the tool to do, and he worked hours and hours on it to complete it. Potential users could be school food service directors, cafeteria staff, anyone that's kind of dealing with picking foods that the students sell or that are provided to students at school. School vendors, I've talked to several vendors and a lot of them aren't really clear on some of the guidelines. They thought a lot of the exempt foods, they think that I can sell a whole bag of nuts and that's okay, but the nuts actually have to meet the calorie restrictions. Parents, students, school nutritionists. And there were still questions. So, you know, I was asked, do Pop-Tarts, can that be considered as an entree? What about candy apples? They meet, you know, they're exempt, right, because they're an apple. Or can we sell chocolate-covered raisins? So those are really hard questions to answer. But there are new regulations, and I just wanted to mention it because it's still fairly new. September 3rd, 08. There were more definitions for foods, for beverages, food and beverage restrictions. So they do talk about with the fruits, there can't be anything added to it. It has to be by itself. There's also trans fat guidelines that are effective later on this year. Next steps are just modifying the tool to incorporate new regulations. The tool was developed about a year ago, so we don't have all the other regulations. Just making the tool accessible to everyone. And I didn't put the website, but it is on the LA County Public Health website. So if you wanted the website, it's www.lapublichealth.org/nutrition, and just go to Project Lean. and then contact information if you had any questions. Okay, thank you.